Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 14 tonight. The next few weeks, Lord willing, I am going to deal with the life of Samson. Hopefully in a way that I've never dealt with before. Whenever I go back to a subject, I always want to learn something different. That's always my intention to do. And hopefully that will work for you as well as we go through these things. I'm going to give you the title up front tonight because I'm trying to give you something that will stick out to you to help you remember the series that we're going to go forth. And you'll see later on as we go through this. So the title of the message tonight is Nerd Alert. Nerd Alert. And when we get to the particular section, it's not going to be tonight. It's later on down the road. You'll understand why I came up with this particular title. It's just how my mind works on different occasions. If you ever take the time to talk to Sean, Sean's got some amazing titles. I talked to him last week. The things that the way his mind thinks is outside the box, and I was like, wow, these are some pretty good titles. So I'm not going to steal them, Sean. I promise, they're yours. But anyway, that's what has come upon my mind for tonight. Before we begin reading, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for allowing us to be here once again. And I thank you for the folks that are here, for their faithfulness and their desire to be here to hear your word preached, to be around other believers, to fellowship with them. God, it is a sweet time that we get to have upon this earth to do these things. And so, God, I pray that as we see some empty seats tonight, I pray that you would bring back the ones who aren't here, and we can, again, fellowship with them as well. We ask you these things, Lord, and we love you in your name. Amen. Book of Judges, chapter number 14. I told you 14, but I want chapter 13 tonight. We're going to begin reading in verse number 24, and then I'm going to go back to verse number 1 and read the whole entire chapter. The birth of Samson, it says, and a woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. Usually that's where the story begins with the life of Samson, especially as a younger child. When you go to Sunday school classes, you'll hear this particular story begin right here. And then they will follow up with the rest of the things that Samson accomplished in his life. But not too often do we go back to chapter number 13 in verse number 1 and begin to rehearse the history that is there. And I believe this is the foundation upon which Samson's life was blessed. That's just from what I'm getting reading out of Scripture. So let's go back and we'll begin reading in chapter number 13 and verse number 1. It says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. An angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, no strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou hast sent come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, said unto him, Behold, a man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of any that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended into the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And again, in verse 24, 25, here comes the story of Samson coming upon the scene. And a woman bare a son, and called his name Samson, and the child and the Lord and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zoar and Eshtaol. Here we see the beginning stages of Samson in his early life. But I want to focus tonight upon the parents of Samson. As we go along in the study of the life of Samson, as I said earlier, you'll begin to see why I came up with this title, Nerd Alert. And I've only done this to capture your mind so that you would be staying focused with me this whole entire time, because it's easy for us to lose focus. Samson obviously was a man of great strength. And normally when we think of a man of great strength, what do we normally see? We see a man who is probably chiseled from head to toe, muscle upon muscle. But I will tell you this, strength is not necessarily in the size of a man's muscle. I kid you not. I've had the privilege for many years to be able to go to the gym to work out and try to put muscles on this body. But I've also seen, as I've watched and observed other men that would come in, and I would look at their physique, and I think, man, how do they get this big? What are they doing? What can I do to imitate them, and I can grow as much as they have? But I begin to find out as I study those men, they might look strong physically on the outside, but when it comes to real strength, they didn't have it. And that is proven so often in a lot of men's life. In all of the times that I can recall when hearing of Samson, there never really has been much or if any focus that I can recall upon his parents. And so I begin to ask myself as I've been studying this, why is this so? Could the reason be that their life wasn't as near as exciting as Samson? I mean, think about this. We're going to read later on what Samson did and what he accomplished. And some of the things that he did will astound you. Later on in the chapter 14, you're going to see that he takes on a lion. We also read of another person who did the same thing, took on a lion. That's King David. And so we're going to see the accomplishments of this man. But they had everything, I will say this, they had everything to do with how he turned out in life. And why I'm saying this tonight is because parents, you and I that have children underneath us need to be that example to them and for them. Because they look up to us for guidance and wisdom in their life. So hopefully tonight we will be able to see the importance of a mom and a dad being involved in the lives of their kids spiritually. That needs to take place in every child's life that has a mom and dad who is a believer in God. Needs to be involved in their life spiritually. Because that is what matters in the end. It's not about what we can accomplish on earth for ourselves. It's what matters how we live our life spiritually. And we need to be involved in our kids' lives when it comes to that matter. And we're going to see that in the life of Manoah and his wife as well. This, however, will be the most important task of a parent in their child's life. And this should be a great lesson for every single one of us to learn. We might say, well, I'm done raising kids, and now I'm on the grandkids. So what? You can still benefit from this, because people still look up to you, and you can learn from this as well. You know, I just recently, you guys heard the story that they called me Father Chad last night. And that all took place because Jeff and Teresa were able to send off another child. They're now empty nesters. All their kids are married. And Chris made a revelation this morning that he is the first Springer to have all of his kids out of the house and married. That's quite the accomplishment. But even though that they have moved into a different stage in life, they still, too, can benefit from these things. I made a joke. Charlie was talking, what are you going to do next? And I heard this, my ears always listening, and I said, well, the next agenda on their life is buying a burial plot. That's what's coming next for them. See, great, exciting things await you, Jeff. Can't you just wait for those times and you get it? Yeah, it's just exciting times that lie ahead of you, literally lying. I say this for a reason. We all can benefit from these things. The Bible doesn't say the age of Samson's parents. That is irrelevant. That's not important tonight. But it seems like they might have had some difficulty probably having kids, because here comes a visit from the angel of the Lord. Verse number 3, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. I tell you what, if I was Manoah's wife at this point in time, I'd be like, huh? What are you saying? It's not making sense. So we see here that the angel of the Lord comes upon the scene and delivers this message. And the angel of the Lord is letting Manoah's wife know that she will soon be with child. I begin to think about this. This is not the first time that this happened in Scripture, nor was it the last time that it happened in Scripture. The first recollection that I can think of is with Abraham and Sarah at the age that they were at. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Sarah and said, you know, you're going to have a child. And we see this in the life of Manoah and his wife. And later on, we see it in the life of Mary with the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's interesting how the Lord works and moves in the lives of people. The first thing that I take notice here is that the parents had a relationship with the Lord. The first step is to have God to be the center of our lives. That is the first step that we must come to understand. And with practice, this can still be done today. But oftentimes, it's not done due to the parents shutting God out. That's what happens in the lives of a lot of people. They think, I got this handled. I got my situation under control. My kids are doing good. Even though we're not going to church, my kids are doing good in school. Even though we're not going to Christian school, then all of a sudden, because we think that we got everything under control, that's when all chaos begins to break out. And that happens because we shut God out of our lives. See, it's important for us to have God in the center of our lives. That's what's important. Following the announcement that she will conceive a child, the angel of the Lord isn't done giving instructions. Whenever the angel of the Lord says something, there's usually a follow-up with that. And with that follow-up usually comes with instructions, and we'll see this in verse number 4. It says, "Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing." So first off, he gives her three rules that she is to apply in her life while she is carrying this child. And it comes with these instructions. Generally, when a woman finds out that she is pregnant, usually what happens, they will go to the doctor, and the doctor then too will give the woman instructions on how to have a healthy pregnancy. And the angel of the Lord has given her these instructions for her pregnancy to go well. And so it's always good to have a proper diet to follow during these times. But here she is told not to drink wine, nor is she to have strong drink or any unclean thing to eat. Here's what can take place. I did a little bit of research. Here's what can take place while drinking when pregnant with child. Think about this. The alcohol that is consumed will pass from the mother's blood into the baby's blood. This will damage and will affect the growth of the baby cells. This will also result in damage to the brain and spinal cord cells of the baby as well. It can go on and cause many other more effects. It can have an enlarged head or many other deformities of those natures. But here's some other things that it will cause as well. And these are things that are ignored today. I've seen many women carrying child, drinking. Not only drinking, but on top of that, smoking as well. And that all affects the child. And it has, they will end up having learning disabilities, or they will be addicted to alcohol, or they will be addicted to nicotine when they come out of the womb. And the doctors and the nurses will have to detox the baby when that takes place. I've heard of some horrific stories of babies coming out of the womb and having these horrible effects and have to detox the child for a long period of time. It's hard enough to see an adult go through those things. But imagine an innocent child coming into this world affected by the sin of the mother. So not only will it cause those things, but here's some other things that it will cause. It will cause miscarriages. It will cause a stillbirth and multitude of physical and behavioral and intellectual disabilities. And not to mention so many other effects it can cause. The angel of the Lord knew what he was talking about when he was given Manoah's wife these instructions on what not to do, because he knew what would take place in the life of the child if she was to consume of these things. And he was trying to protect her and guide her along this in this life. It doesn't stop there, because in verse number 5, it says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the angel of the Lord gives more instructions, no razor upon his head. But for a majority of people, this will say this is where Samson got his great strength. This is where we stop reading the story and never really dive into this any deeper than that. The Word of God is here for us to dive into it, to read and to study it, not just to get the surface stuff, but to go further into depth about things. Verse number 8 is, I believe, to be the key verse in this situation. Excuse me. Let's read this. It says, "Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the men of God which thou didst send come again unto us." Look at these next words. "And teach us what we should do unto the child that shall be born." See, these instructions that were given to his wife at this point in time wasn't just enough for Manoah. Manoah wanted more instructions. He wanted to be taught more on how to train this child and how to allow this child to grow. So I believe verse number 8 brings us to a different level here. Manoah, he reached out to God and entreated him and asked him to be taught on how they were to teach this child in his growing years. Let me ask you a question as I just read this. When was the last time that you as a parent, myself included, praying to God, asking God, "God, teach me, show me on how I'm supposed to raise this child that you gave me. Show me in the ways that you want me to allow this child to grow. I need your help." I believe today the situation in America or even the world that is in today is because of a lack of communication with God's people going to God and asking him for help with their children. What do we see on the streets today that is running pretty wild, causing havoc? It is young people. I was baffled. I begin to think, I remember a pastor saying years ago, and this has been a long time ago, he says, "You're not going to see a problem with 24, 25-year-olds on the street causing problems. What you're going to see in years to come is people that have kids that are 10, 11, 12 years old causing problems." I kind of laughed at that. I'm thinking to myself, what do you really know about this? Come out to find out a whole lot. And we are in this situation today because most of America is raising their children without God in their lives. And it's sad. Today I went up to Harlan to go visit a dear friend of mine who's going to be in the presence of the Lord very, very soon. And to be honest with you, I hope he's there tonight. I hope he's there right now, to be honest with you. And you say, "Well, that's pretty mean." No, this world has nothing to offer, folks. Really, there's nothing for us to live here for. He's got everything to gain. We're the losers stuck behind. That's how I kind of look at those things. But as Chris and I begin to go into deep conversation with her, there's a struggle with the kids that he had at a previous marriage. And the reason why there's a struggle to this point in time in her life with these kids, and you're thinking probably 15, 20 years of age. That's not the case. These kids are my age. They're in their mid-40s. A couple of them are, I think they're a couple years older than I am. And the struggle that's going on today with them is sad because she doesn't need to be dealing with this. And the reason why they're in the situation, and if Dave is able to speak to me tonight, he would say, I would agree with you full-heartedly, is because his earlier life, he didn't have a relationship with the Lord and didn't train his kids up in the Lord. And now he struggles with worldly kids wanting the worldly things and rejecting the God things. See, it's important for us to have teaching our kids and going to God and asking God for guidance and how to raise our children, how to raise our grandchildren. See, you're never done parenting. Pastor said a few weeks ago, maybe it was last week, his job as a parent is not really over because he still parents us. Would you agree with me, Christy and Jeff? He still parents us, so does Mom. They still give us guidance. They still share their wisdom with us. But their job has increased even more now because now there's 24, 25 other little rugrats that are running around that they care about and are concerned about. And their job's gotten heavier. And they want to see their grandkids and their great-grandkids grow in the Lord. So it's important early on to find ways for us to get our kids involved and to ask God to help in teaching our children. Wherein lies his secrets to having this great strength? I believe the answer is simple, so simple we have overlooked it for so many years. Remember I said earlier on how important a parent's involvement in a child's life spiritually is? It's very important. Is this the key? Could this be the very key? Because early on in life, they're concerned with, before he's even born, how he was going to turn out. Because Manoah went and was entreating God and said, teach us, show us, we need to know. So they are involved earlier on, even before he came out of the womb. Years ago, I remember Jalen's going to be turning 18 this Saturday, and Chris and I were on our way home this afternoon. She goes, you realize our daughter's going to be 18 Saturday? Where did time go? And I said, she's not 18 yet, just leave it alone. And kids grow up so fast, they truly do. And I lost my thought to where I was going. I'm having a Pastor Springer moment. My thought just went off the track here a little bit. But having involvement in our children's life is so important. Training them up in the Word of the Lord is so beneficial for them. Teaching them early. And here I am. I'm getting back to my thoughts. I knew it would come back to me. I remember when Jalen was born, I remember Doc and Dee being around. And they were up at the hospital, and they visited. And I think the conversation got turned. Obviously, it got turned. I remember Doc saying, now we're praying for her spouse. I'm thinking to myself, she's only a day old, Doc. What's the rush? What's the hurry? Give us some time here. Let us enjoy this moment of this cute bundle of joy. But, you know, I gave him a little bit of a hard time, but later on, begin to understand why he said that. And that's because we seriously do need to pray for our children's spouses. That's very important. And that's being involved and getting spiritual guidance along the way. That's what we need to seek. The key is early on in life, training your children in the ways of the Lord. To seek him, to love him, and to desire to have a relationship with him. It wasn't his long hair. His parents were obedient in the matter that they were spoken to by the angel of the Lord. You don't see her in Scripture going against the angel of the Lord, going and drinking strong drink, drinking of the wine, or eating any unclean thing. I believe God honored them for their obedience. And by honoring them, they gave him a wonderful child. And through this as well, resulted in God giving Samson great strength. Should we seek to have our kids live for the Lord? Most definitely, yes. But in order for them to live for God, here's the key ingredient that I think is missing from some people's lives. And I'm not saying everybody's life, but from some lives. So here is the key ingredient. And that is, they must see us living for God first, all the time, every single day, not taking time off, but living for God all the time. I believe Samson saw this in the life of his parents. Samson saw his parents live for God. And because he saw them live for God, guess what? He caught on and wanted the same thing. No different than any of us that's in here that grew up with parents that love God. You caught on, and you wanted the same thing. I didn't always want what mom wanted spiritually. I didn't always want what dad wanted spiritually, because there were times that I wanted what I wanted. And it had nothing to do with spiritual matters. And that's when I begin to see God working in life. And I begin to realize, hey, what my parents have, they're pretty smart about this. And I begin to catch on in that matter. We can be the biggest influence to our children. And at the same time, sadly, we can be the biggest discouragement to them as well. Without a doubt, I've been an influence and a big encouragement in my daughter's life, but at the same time, I've been a big discouragement to her as well. And shame on me for those things. The best thing that we can ever pass on to our children, to our child, however it may be in your household, is our faith in an Almighty God. That's what's the greatest thing that we can pass on. When mom and dad pass from this world, I can care less what they leave behind materialistically. I can care less about those things. But what matters to me the most is their faith in God that they passed on to me. And I had to accept that. They didn't force it upon me, but I saw them live it. I saw them breathe it. I saw it be a part of their daily life. And they passed that on. Manoah and his wife were so thrilled with the news of their child, so much that they offered a burnt offering unto the Lord. And we read this later on in these verses. And when they did this, Manoah thought they were going to die because they had seen the Lord. Here's what sticks out with me with these parents, and I hope it sticks out with you folks. Faithfulness. Faithfulness goes a long ways. It truly does. The faithfulness of these parents are remarkable. The love that they had for God was absolutely amazing. The desire to raise Samson according to how they were told to raise him by the angel of the Lord shows great obedience. You see this in these chapters if you begin to really look at this. And you might say, well, that's for them. Where is my plan and how to raise my child? Here's my answer. If you would just pause for just a moment in life, what's the psalmist say? Be still and know that I am God. See, so often we don't understand or we don't know God's plan for us is because we're too busy trying to figure out our plans. We're too busy with all the other noise around us. We're not being still. But you and I, we need to take a time and just pause. Pause in life, and you want to know where your answers are at? Right here. Right here. You want to know how to raise your child according to God's plans? Right here. Without that, it's failure. It truly is. Right here is the plan. We will begin to see the whole picture when we see God's plan in His Word. Do you realize today, or this evening, whatever time it is, this is an instruction manual. You can look at it, it could be a toolbox. Because every time you open it, you have instructions. And every time you open it, it has every correct tool for you to use. But we don't know how to use those things at times because, as I said earlier, we shut God out. So what is the secret of Samson's strength? I believe it started off with his parents wanting to raise him in the Lord, and the rest is history. You say, and his great strength came from his parents. I said, no. Listen. I said it started off. See, you and I, we need to start off on the right foot when it comes to our children, and when it comes to our grandchildren. Well, Chad, all that stuff's done. I understand for some people, but you can be a great influence by helping us younger parents, by helping those younger grandparents, giving your wisdom and guidance in life. It's important for parents to seek God's will so that they can have their little ones follow them along the way. So important in our lives. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful tonight for your word. We thank you for allowing us to see some things maybe we've never seen before, maybe never even studied before. But God, I thank you for allowing me to preach your word tonight. God, I pray tonight that you would begin, not just begin, but continue to work in our lives, continue to challenge us from your word. Again, we are so thankful that you have given us this precious word that we're able to read, be able to open it up, and to let it to be a guide in our lives. Lord, again, we ask that you just bless us as we leave from here tonight. Keep us safe, and we ask it in your name. Amen.